It's Tuesday, July the 7th. The world's biggest technology companies are making changes in how they work in Hong Kong, following China's new security law.
The tech companies are caught between two big forces and two big ideals. On the one hand, they have their users here who have been using their services enthusiastically. And on the other hand, they have Beijing, which is obviously this enormous power.
We'll talk to our tech reporter in Hong Kong about the moves taking place. Plus, more evidence the pandemic isn't affecting everyone equally.
It's really striking how this virus has impacted different groups, not just because in terms of higher unemployment, but also in terms of infection and health outcomes.
A closer look at who's being hit the hardest. And a staple of many restaurants is becoming a memory of our lives before the coronavirus.
Self-service food, whether it's a buffet or a salad bar, really doesn't work with the pandemic.
And the business impact of that is wider than you might think. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. TikTok is the latest social media company responding to China's new national security law. It plans to leave Hong Kong within a week. As we talked about on the show last night, Facebook's WhatsApp, Twitter, and Google have all suspended processing requests by Hong Kong law enforcement for user data. The Wall Street Journal's Newly Purnell covers tech from Hong Kong.
There's 7.5 million people here, and so all these big tech companies are operating in much larger, more populous markets. But Hong Kong does stand out because the citizenry is very connected. Nearly everyone is online. People are avid users of some of these services, and we also saw in the last year, since there have been protests against China and against this extradition bill, that people are really taking to these services and using them very enthusiastically to express their political opinions.
Separately, TikTok is also in the news in the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talked about concerns that data could potentially be shared with the Chinese government. In an interview with Fox News last night, he was asked if there should be a ban on TikTok and other Chinese social media apps.
Viewers should know we're taking this very seriously. We're certainly looking at it. With respect to Chinese apps on people's cell phones, I can assure you the United States will get this one right too, Laura. I don't want to get out in front of the president, but it's something we're looking at.
Would you recommend that people download that app on their phones tonight, tomorrow, anytime currently?
Only if you want your private information in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party.
TikTok says it is led by an American CEO and wants its app to be secure for its users. The company says it has never provided user data to the Chinese government, nor would we do so if asked. Our team's new data analysis finds that California and Florida accounted for nearly half of new coronavirus cases reported on Sunday. Miami-Dade's county mayor rolled back reopening plans, ordering gyms to close and limiting restaurants to takeout and delivery. Elsewhere in the state, Disney World plans to reopen this week. In addition, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says she tested positive despite not showing symptoms. Today, New Jersey and Delaware hold primary elections, the latest states to grapple with balancing democracy and social distancing. We're reporting international students will not be allowed to take all of their classes online if their school offers a mix of both on-campus and virtual classes. This is according to new immigration and customs enforcement guidelines. If a school is exclusively teaching online, ICE won't allow them in the U.S. Just ahead, heavy hitters in U.S. business call on China to step up spending on American goods. A renewed call for China to buy more American products as part of the Phase One trade deal signed earlier this year. The push is coming from business groups in the United States. Our markets editor, Quinton Webb, in Hong Kong, breaks it down.
China is on the hook to buy an extra $200 billion a year of U.S. products, an extraordinary ramp up in terms of its purchasing of American goods. Obviously, the last few months has been very disrupted with the coronavirus pandemic. But, you know, China is running a long way behind those commitments. One estimate shows that as of the end of May, it was sort of at a kind of 45% level versus where it needs to be. Now, a big group of U.S. business associations, 40 or so of these groups, have written together to both sides, the U.S. and the Chinese, to sort of say it's very important that this trade deal is implemented fully. And I think, you know, what's driving this perhaps is a concern that Well, A, the numbers at the moment are not where they need to be. And B, you know, other bits of the US-China relationship seem to be spiraling downwards. If you think of all of these stress points, Hong Kong, the Uyghur Muslim minority in Western China, you know, the South China Sea, what blame, if any, China should share for the global spread of the coronavirus pandemic. There are all of these tension points in the US-China relationship. And of course, we're midway through an election year in America as well. And I guess the business community is kind of keen to ensure that the trade deal, A, remains a focus and B, remains on track.
Palantir is going public. The data analytics company filed paperwork for an IPO that Wall Street has been anticipating for years. The company helps corporations and governments crunch large blocks of data. It was credited with helping the U.S. find Osama bin Laden. Palantir has been valued privately at as much as $20 billion. We are reporting SiriusXM is close to buying the podcasting company Stitcher from EW Scripps. The deal would value it around $300 million. The potential sale comes as Sirius is looking to expand into podcasting, as both Spotify and iHeartMedia have done recently. After the break, we'll take a closer look at the numbers to see how different groups of Americans are feeling a very different impact from the pandemic on income and everyday life. As we've been discussing, the pandemic has been hurting different groups of people in different ways. We've been looking at the numbers, and Latinos in particular have been very hard hit. The data also shows how the recession isn't following patterns of the past. Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey has been looking into all of these issues and how it impacts the economy as a whole. Harriet, we always appreciate your visits. Welcome.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
Harriet, you talked to economists, you've sorted through the numbers, and they showed this recession in particular has been very painful for Latino or Hispanic workers. What did you find?
Yes. Well, the interesting thing about this recession is that really for the first time, as far as I can tell, this is the first time that a recession has started in the services sector, consumer spending in the services sector. So usually when we have a recession, it's caused by lower spending, often by consumers, but usually on things like houses or cars or, you know, durable goods. That's usually something that sparks a recession, or, you know, lower business investment. That's another thing. This is the first time that we're really seeing a big drop in services spending. So things like dining out, entertainment, you know, people are not really venturing out of the house, partly because of quarantine orders that were in place. And one thing that we know is that many of those jobs are overrepresented by certain demographics. And one of them is Hispanic or Latino workers. So Hispanic or Latino workers only make up about 18% of the total workforce, but they account for, you know, roughly half of all, you know, maids and housekeeping cleaners in hotels, for instance, and construction workers. And these industries have been very hard hit by this crisis because people have just pulled back massively on the discretionary spending that normally holds up pretty well in a recession.
One thing you and your colleagues have done is take a closer look at how different groups are faring during the pandemic. Why is this important, and what can we learn from looking at specific demographics?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important because we can see that this coronavirus pandemic has impacted people in very different ways. I mean, the headline unemployment rate has really soared. You know, we were looking at 3.5% in February. We're now at 11.1%. So this is a huge jump. But unfortunately, the rate is even higher. So for Black or African American workers, it's 15.4%. For Asian workers, it's 13.8%. And that is compared with sort of 2.1% this time a year ago. So it's really striking how this virus has impacted different groups, not just because in terms of higher unemployment, but also in terms of infection and health outcomes. So many Latino and Hispanic workers are in so-called essential services. So, for instance, working in a supermarket or working in a meat processing plant, perhaps like working in a, you know, in the kitchen of a restaurant that's providing takeout delivery. These are all essential workers, and it is difficult in many of those jobs to socially distance.
So I want to take a closer look at the service industry because it's responsible for 47% of GDP, or just half of the economy. Will that piece of the pie shrink, and what could replace it?
Yeah, it's really hard to say at this point. I think, you know, it would be great to have a firm forecast on that. But the problem is that we just don't know how quickly it's going to take to recover because, you know, the coronavirus, we could see a vaccine soon or we could see a big shift in consumer behavior. So we just don't know how the economy is going to respond. It's really too early to tell. It depends a lot on the path of the virus. You know, you see certain countries in Europe that are more or less getting back to normal now. You know, the restaurants are reopened, the bars are reopened, and but in other countries, that's really not happening. Cases are continuing to go up. So at this point in time, it's hard to know. But economists are saying that they do expect the unemployment rate for Latinos to remain high for, you know, at least a year, based on the fact that people have had this big sort of scare in terms of, you know, health and so on. And it'll take time for everyone to get back entirely to normal.
And finally, Harriet, covering the economy, you are always having to look forward. What are some of the metrics coming up in the next week or the next month that you think will be very telling?
Well, we're going to get a good look. So next week, we'll see retail sales at the end of the week. That will definitely be interesting in terms of, you know, how consumers have responded in June. June was an interesting month because at the beginning of the month, you know, incidentally, when the last jobs report data was aggregated, things were really starting to improve. You know, a lot of states were reopening. But unfortunately, in the second half of June, we did see a big spike in coronavirus cases in a lot of states. And we're now seeing some states really pull back on the reopening efforts. So it'll be interesting to see how that impacted consumer spending. And then, of course, the big one that everyone is kind of looking towards is at the end of July, we'll see real GDP, you know, the advanced reading on GDP for the second quarter. The second quarter is the quarter when we're expected to really see the full impact of the coronavirus shutdowns. We're talking April, May, June. So that will be definitely very closely watched.
Harriet Torrey, always good to have you with us on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
And finally, it's a rough time for fans of the salad bar and the all-you-can-eat buffet. Many states are saying in this age of the pandemic, it's just not safe. There are issues of crowding and handling of utensils over and over again. And this is not just a problem for buffet fans. Our Heather Haddon covers the restaurant industry where this is having real business impact.
People really love, you know, being able to go up and eat and eat as much as they want. Of course, for casinos, I mean, this is a huge deal. This is how they get people to come to their casinos and stay and not leave and spend their money. And that's why these services are offered so cheaply in casinos. For grocery stores, salad bars and the like really have been a profit center for them. It's a way for them to distinguish themselves. I mean, just think of going to a Whole Foods or a Wegmans. I mean, people really love those salad bars, pizza, all kinds of self-service there. So having that eliminated is really taking out a big part of, you know, what attracted a lot of customers to these grocery stores in more recent times, because it's a great way to get a lot of food pretty economically.
Heather tells us some casinos are bringing back restaurant service, but with a really big menu. And that's what's news for this Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with an updated episode. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. As always, more on these stories on WSJ.com. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.